Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio. Now, here's Ken Laird and Guy Junker.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
On Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio.
Yeah. Turn up the heat.
Go on and get some, boys.
Come on.
Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Oh, the optimism is flowing today here on Trib Live Radio. Pens and Rangers game one. Maybe our next guest, Mike Colligan, will help to spark the fire, light the fire under Pens fans here for tonight's game in Madison Square Garden. NHL analyst at Forbes Sports Money, and of course, Penguins writer at the Hockey Writers and his brand new site, ColliganHockey.com. Mike Colligan, our guest here on Trib Live. How are you, Mike?
Oh, good, Ken, but you can't tee me up like that. I mean, come on now. This is not a fair series, I don't think, from most perspectives. And I think even the Penguins healthy right now would be a bad matchup for New York. I remember we've talked about this for probably 3 months now. I thought New York and Washington were just terrible matchups for this Penguins team, the way that they're constructed. And I think the best thing that could have happened would be if they had snuck over to the other division, played at Montreal in the first round. I think even this version of the Penguins team could have beaten Montreal. If they could have found a way to score in Carey Price, that's not a great team, and it's one that matches up very well against the Penguins. But unfortunately now, I mean, when you look at this Penguins road, if it includes the Rangers, then the Islanders or Capitals after that, and then potentially you're just getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's a tough road when you look at it.
How did the Rangers get here, Mike? I mean, you know this team better than I do. Last year they looked like they were dead, 3-1 down, and Marty St. Louis, the trade was a mistake, and all of a sudden, as you point out, they're unbelievable. How did they do it?
Well, they started out very, very rough last year. I mean, when they were new head coach and I think on the road for over a month as Madison Square Garden was under renovations, this was like the end of the Rangers era. I think it's still nearing the end of their window, and I think with going essentially all in on a Keith Yandel trade at the deadline, giving up picks and prospects, this team isn't going anywhere for the long term. This is their time to win, and they know it, and I think general manager Glenn Sather is nearing the end of his career, and he certainly wants one last crack at it. But when you look at the depth that they now have for four lines of forwards that are very talented and deep, six defensemen, which when healthy, I think are as good as any in the league. And then you've got Henrik Lundqvist behind that. I mean, it's a very tough matchup for any team as long as this Rangers team is healthy. And when I look at their ability to roll those top nine forwards and roll those top six defensemen, I don't think there's going to be many teams that can go head-to-head with them.
Mike, a lot of experts are looking at this series heavily in favor of the Rangers, but there are a few that are saying that maybe the Penguins have a slight advantage being an underdog, maybe because there's not much expected from them, and maybe it might cause the Rangers to be a little bit complacent. If there is anything that the Penguins could use to their advantage as far as being the underdog that might catch them off guard, what would it be?
I think winning a game early in the series would be big. If they can grab one on the road, now you've got a Rangers team that starts to question themselves a little bit. You know, that's all I can think of at this point. I think Marc-Andre Fleury would have to play outstanding, and that's the thing is, you know, when we go back, think about the last few years of this Penguins playoff team, and for a few years it was Marc-Andre Fleury, he's the problem, and then he straightened his game up, and now it's Dan Bylsma, Ray Shiro, never drafting forwards, you know, that narrative. So, okay, we've cleaned out the front office and the head coach, and yet we're still sitting here asking a lot of the same questions. And so I think at that point, you know, who's left? Who's been here for a number of years? And I guess you're looking now at a core of a team, or potentially the ability to surround that core with the appropriate reinforcements and depth. And I think when you look at the Penguins this year, I mean, it's going to be a tough matchup. If I had to find a kind of a key to the series, it's going to be that third line of Brandon Sutter and Bo Bennett. They need those guys to step it up. I think Sutter's certainly been playing some good hockey over the last 10 days or so, and we know what he did last year in the playoffs that allowed the Penguins to have a decent performance in those early rounds. They're going to need Bennett to somehow find his game. He's looked a little bit lost, but I think he still at least has that potential to step it up. It might be tough in a physical series for a guy like that doesn't seem to enjoy physical hockey, but that's going to be the key. If they don't have a third line that's not only playing strong in the defensive end, but pitching in on the offensive end with a couple timely goals, it's going to be a tough one for Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin to really carry this team.
Would you have gone more aggressive in the call-ups, Mike? Would you have brought Kasperi Kapanen in here or even a Bobby Farnham instead of Scott Wilson? Would you have shaken things up a bit?
Farnham's an interesting one. I've been asked a few times about him, and I think I don't know that I trust them. I don't know that I trust Steve Downey, and I don't know that I trust the two on the ice at the same time in a playoff series with the potential for fireworks with those guys. But I think Farnham would have certainly brought in some energy. I would not have brought up Kapanen. I was leaning that way, and then when I watched those games last night, I was reminded how fast the playoffs are. I mean, this is another level. I think the first round and even these first few games are probably as fast as it gets until maybe the last couple games of the Stanley Cup Finals. I think teams are just so amped up. They're as healthy as they're ever going to be. And when you look at some of those games, I mean, I was only watching clips and highlights and pieces of the Nashville-Chicago game, but that was just an unbelievable pace to that game. And when you're asking, 18, 19-year-old kids to come in having just gotten onto North American ice for the first time, and now you're throwing them into the fire, I just don't think that's a good thing for confidence and development of a young guy like Kapanen. But, you know, I think about the Penguins, and another chance that they would have in this series would just be to totally lock it down on defense. I mean, is there a way that they can just play about as perfect as possible, hope for some power play opportunities and convert those, and hope to just slow the Rangers down? I mean, that might be one way that they do it. And so in that sense, bringing up a guy like Scott Wilson, getting some extra defensive depth, I think fits a little bit more. But until we really get into game one here tonight and see what the Penguins' strategy is going to be, it's really tough to say how they're going to approach the New York Rangers.
Talking to Mike Colligan from ColliganHockey.com here on Trib Live Radio. Ken Laird and Josh Taylor in for Guy Junker today. Yeah, maybe Fleury can go Scott Darling and pull a shutout performance out. I know, you know, Darling didn't start the game, but he and Jonas Hiller, I thought, were unbelievable last night. So we had three road teams win. Strange things do happen in game ones of series, don't they?
Well, and just look at that New York Islanders-Washington series. You know, I picked the Capitals to win the Stanley Cup as far as a playoff preview goes, but it couldn't have been further from the truth last night when we see an Islanders team that was limping into the playoffs just like the Penguins were. I mean, I've watched the Islanders over the last few weeks. They can't even get out of their own zone, and they couldn't find their way up ice. They couldn't score goals. They were getting inconsistent up and down goaltending from Yaroslav Halak. That was a totally different Islanders team last night, and I think the same could have been said on the opposite end for the Washington Capitals. That was a team that was rolling through everyone. They were playing physical. They were playing fast, and they had everything firing on all cylinders, and they came out a limp performance. I mean, no speed, no aggressiveness. I think the Islanders really shut them down with a great forecheck and strategies. And that's the other interesting thing in the playoffs is this becomes more of a chess match between head coaches. As you're seeing the team night in and night out, you've got line matches out there. You've got system strategies that have to be tweaked, not only from game to game, but within games. And I think that's where certainly Dan Bylsma gained the reputation of not being able to kind of adjust on the fly in the playoffs. And some of the more talented and more intelligent coaches were able to take advantage of that against the Penguins. So a lot of dynamics that are a little bit different than regular season hockey as we get underway here.
Ken, Mike, Ken and I were talking earlier about the situation with Ottawa and Montreal and the PK Subban slash and a couple of penalties that probably should have been called in other games and things like that. In a series like this where the Penguins are pretty much already behind the eight ball, so to speak, could that become a problem that we saw during the season where they had some problems with penalties not being called in games? It's almost like the sum of all fears for some people because we know this team tends to come unglued. But an issue like this, like maybe a penalty with Subban or other situations where penalties might be called, is that something that can turn a series one way or another, or is that something that pretty much is just generally widely accepted?
Yeah, a few interesting questions there. I think penalties are certainly a big factor, and we just talked about how maybe the Penguins could play more of a grinded out defensive style against the Rangers and hold these games to a pretty low scoring. But if you're going to do that, you're probably going to get in trouble with penalties. And that's the thing with playing kind of a clutch and grab defensive style of hockey. You can't afford to just keep taking minor penalties. Now, the Rangers' power play has not been that good this year, and so that's certainly a positive aspect. But if you're going to keep putting yourself in the box, you know, the Penguins were, I think, the second most penalized team this year. If you're going to keep doing that in the playoffs, you're going to get burned at some point. And I think that's the thing is and another thing was when I watched that Ottawa-Montreal series last night, I mean, the physical nature of that series, whoever survives that series isn't going to go any further, I don't think. And especially if it's Montreal with their lack of size and the way that Ottawa was just able to put a pounding on them, I think that's going to be tough for Montreal if they do advance. And I think the same is probably going to be said tonight if you watch a Winnipeg and Anaheim. A Winnipeg is a very, very physical, heavy team that plays a tough style of hockey. And if Anaheim can beat them, and I'm not even sure that they're the favorites in that series, if I had to put them up against each other, they're not going to advance much further. And so that's what's interesting is you get these matchups and you play against teams that are playing tough and physical and hard, it can wear you down. And I think you hope that the referees step in and are calling penalties and keeping that under control. But we know that this is NHL hockey, and that certainly doesn't happen. We have referees that disappear and allow the players to determine it as they so say. So it'll be interesting to see what we run into.
Back to the strategist comment that you had, Mike. What do you think of Johnston as a strategist to this point? Do we know anything about him in that regard? And how about Alain Vigneault? Are you impressed with him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely on Vigneault. I mean, we saw what he was able to do in Vancouver and take that team to really the doorstep of the Stanley Cup there. It was unbelievable that he got fired. But I think he's been able to obviously do a lot of the same things with a talented Rangers team. And he's a guy that adjusts very well on the fly. He has very good systems and approaches, and I think he's going to be a tough match for Johnston. And that's the thing, you know, you've got a guy like a rookie head coach like Mike Johnston who's really learning on the fly and learning on the job at this point. And he hasn't been in NHL hockey. And so all these things we talked about, which would be negatives for Kasperi Kapanen, you know, coming into the NHL, seeing all this for the first time, the same could be said of Mike Johnston. You know, as he gets into these high-pressure situations, obviously a lot of attention and focus on the Pittsburgh Penguins, even despite their underdog status, it's going to be up to Johnston to really learn and figure these things out as it goes. And I think when you look at the specifics and his ability to instill a system early in the year that was simplified and really relied on puck possession and support of the puck and quick short passes. The one concern I have about that going up against this Rangers team is they really try to play a bit of an overload or a trapping style on all ends of the ice. You know, they overload the puck. They put a lot of bodies in one side. And so for the Penguins, as they're breaking out, for example, and they've got 3 and 4 and 5 guys on one half of the ice, that's not a good equation because now you've got 5 Penguins and 5 Rangers all crammed into about a 40-foot square area on that ice, and nothing good's going to come from that. I don't care how accurate or how quick or how efficient you are with your passing, you're going to run into trouble. So I think if the Penguins are going to have success, they're going to have to stray from that Mike Johnston philosophy a bit. They're going to have to get some cross-ice passes, maybe stretch some guys across the ice, look for breakaways and getting behind the Rangers' defense. It's going to be a little bit different than what we've seen from this Penguins team, but I think it's maybe what they need to create those opportunities and those chances to score goals against the Rangers.
Is there anybody on the Penguins right now, Mike, you're feeling good about? I mean, you don't lose 11 or 14 and feel good about too many players, but who do you like the way they're playing right now? And who might, like Crosby said, he's as healthy as he's been. Is this one of those series where he just puts the team on his back after one goal last year in the playoffs and scores 7 in the series or something ridiculous?
Yeah, and he says as healthy as he's been, I don't think he's been healthy all year, so maybe that's all relative, but I think he's been playing fantastic hockey lately. I mean, the way that he's been able to forecheck below the goal line, and I've wondered that with Sidney Crosby, and I know no one's asked him it, and he probably wouldn't be honest anyways, but I've wondered, you know, Sidney Crosby's a guy that's just so used to going 100% all the time, and by the time you get to the playoffs and you've got all those bumps and bruises and you're running out of gas, he never has enough to really go through 4 rounds anymore, especially now that he's getting a little bit older. I wonder if Crosby's, you know, taking the foot off the gas a little bit as the season was going along, and I saw him, you know, not back-checking on plays that he never would have given up on in the past. In the regular season, he's saying, you know what, I'm just going to take this shift off. And I didn't know if that was him just not caring or not being attention to detail, but now I'm starting to think the other way, where maybe he was conserving himself and said, you know what, I know when I need to be 100%, and it's going to be those last few weeks of the season, and it's going to definitely be the playoffs. And I think when you look at his body of work over these last few weeks, he's been an unbelievable terror on the forecheck, creating opportunities and turnovers. The problem on his line as it's currently constructed is he doesn't have a goal scorer to convert those chances. And so many times he's put the puck in front to Daniel Winnick or Patrick Hornquist, or even when he had Chris Kunitz, and those guys aren't converting. And I think you've got to probably find a way to get David Perron back up on that line, because that's really the only winger right now that I think is able to really put pucks in the net for Sidney Crosby, because in the end, he's a playmaker. He's really not a goal scorer, and so he's going to need someone in his line to score. And I think if you can get Perron up there, that at least gives you a chance to convert some of those great opportunities that, that Crosby's doing for, making for you. And I think on the back end, the bright spot's been Ian Cole, a guy that's got a good pedigree, but just could never get playing time or opportunity in St. Louis. You know, look at Ben Lovejoy and exactly what he went through in Pittsburgh his first time around, where he couldn't find his way into the lineup, couldn't get a chance, and then he goes to Anaheim and is a top four defenseman. I think a very similar evolution is coming here from Ian Cole, and certainly a positive bright spot for the Penguins. And I think finally, I think Marc-Andre Fleury's been an untold story this year, not getting nearly enough attention for, I think he had 10 shutouts. So those three players, if they can continue to play as they've been, certainly gives the Penguins a chance to win a game or two as we go along here, but I think they're going to need more performances like that if they want to have a chance in the series.
There you go. Ian Cole could be the key to the series. That's how desperate things have gone. Nothing against Ian Cole and not disagreeing with what you're saying. I think, you know, before I let you go here, Mike, I can tell you don't like the matchup. You haven't for months. If it goes the way we think it goes, and it's a short series, do you expect major changes, or will they mostly hope, you know, stay the course and just hope for better health next year?
We're at the point where I think rational thinking is out the window, especially when we've seen how this has played out over the last 12 to 24 months here. Anything is possible, and especially as the franchise starts to kind of turn the other direction, you can see some really bizarre things happen. And I don't know what it'll be. I don't know if or when it'll happen, and you know, whether that's a trade of Evgeny Malkin or a firing of Jim Rutherford and Mike Johnson and starting over. I don't know what it is at this point, but I think that's what can happen when you see franchises start to struggle after they've been at the top for so long. Things can get a little bit irrational, and decisions can come out of left field. And I think if they would lose in the first round, which is very possible, we'll probably look at a new head coach next year. Who knows what Jim Rutherford's plan is for the future. I don't think that this triumvirate that they have as far as the assistant general managers is really what it was spun to be, and I think those guys are all going to be looking at new opportunities over the next year or two here. So a lot of uncertainty, and especially as you look at a Penguins team that really needs a common vision and really a vision to take them into the future as far as what's this team going to be, you need some consistency there. And I think they haven't addressed that at this point, even though they brought in a new general manager and head coach. The vision isn't there. The future of the Penguins is certainly pretty cloudy at this point. They're going to need to put a foot down at some point and decide what they're going to be over the next few years and then get everyone rallied around that, at least as far as the players that are still going to be here.
Mike, you're the man. That's incredible insight. We always love having you, man. Continued good success with the website, Calling in Hockey, and enjoy the series, short though it may be.
You too, guys. I think if anything about NHL playoffs, anything can happen. So when we look back to, you know, 1993, I think the Penguins were in a situation where you thought there was zero chance they could ever lose to the New York Islanders, and that was a team that looked unbeatable, and we all know what happened that series. So I think when it comes to NHL playoffs, certainly anything can happen, and in one way or another, it should be fun to watch.
Who knows who Steve Downey could maim on the Rangers tonight?
I won't even go there. That's an untouchable one. We will see. Thanks, guys.
See you later, Mike.
Thanks
Mike. A lot. That's my colleague from the Hockey Writers and ColleagueHockey.com. The front page of the Ottawa Sun this morning. Mark Stone was the victim of the PK Subban two-handed slash stick and stone.
Oh.
He better not have a broken bone is the underscore.
That's creative.
Was weird. He came out of the game. He came back in the game. He tried to squirt a water bottle, you know, a drink, and he squirted it the wrong way, so it looked like he was concussed, like he sprayed water on the ice and it didn't go into his mouth. He played a little bit, then he sat again. By the way, the word is in from the NHL. There will be no suspension on PK Subban, reports Ken Warren of the Ottawa Sun. So in that series, you have a Adam Graves-esque slash, you're going back to the Pens Rangers of that series in 92, and no suspension. In that series, Adam Graves got two. In this one, none. The head coach of the Senators has promised a bounty, you know, basically a vendetta. We're going to go slash one of their stars and just get a five-minute major for it. So it's on in that series, and I wonder if Steve Downey can be that X factor in this series starting tonight and if he'll just totally lose it at some point here in the next four games, JT.
If you're Ottawa's coach, can you blame him? in all seriousness. No. Can you really blame him? Because, and think about it, because the fact that he has not been penalized any further, he hasn't been punished at all, and he's not going to be. If you're an Audible's coach, you're thinking, who's expendable on my team that I can lose for 5 minutes in a game misconduct without having to have that big of a problem? It doesn't have to be PK Subban. It could be one of your lower guys that you probably don't expect to get much out of that's not going to play many minutes. If you can get that guy to, you know, take somebody out and you know you're not going to lose him for much anyway, what difference does it make? You're pretty much just doing the same thing to them that they did to you. And the problem is when coaches start thinking that way and players start thinking that way and it's not checked, that's when things get out of control.
Tell us what you are feeling here on this game one Thursday, 7 o'clock puck drop tonight at Madison Square Garden, sportstalk at tribweb.com. Pens and Rangers, here we are a year later. Can remember Doc Emmerich in the Game 7 at Consol last year on the telecast talking about the death of Marty St. Louis' mother, Josh, and referencing Chuck Tanner's mom dying in the Buccos Game 5 in 79 when they were down 3-1 and the Pirates coming back. And as Doc Emmerich so eloquently put it, athletes reacting to the brotherhood of team, you know, and you could just feel that series changed. It's things change in the middle of these series, in the middle of games, and that's what makes it so awesome. I mean, it is a garage league in so many ways, but it's captivating, ain't it?